Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
I got a message on my heart. I feel the Holy Spirit gave me something directly for you. And I really am just so passionate about what's going to come today. I think it's from the Holy Spirit. But before I jump into it, I gotta make sure that the foundation that we've been laying these last few weeks is still there, that you're aware of it. Because if you take today and what I teach today and you think that's all of it, but you don't put it on the foundation that we've already laid, you're gonna build a house that can't stand. Does that make sense? Houses need good foundations. You can have a beautiful house. You go into the house like, oh my goodness, this looks amazing. But if the foundation isn't there, that house ain't gonna stand very long. And so I gotta make sure that you have a healthy foundation to build upon what I'm sharing today. Paul the Apostle, I referenced this a few weeks ago. I just wanna remind us the foundation that we're building on. Paul the Apostle, he writes a lot of the New Testament. And it's known that he was a tent maker. So Paul, the apostle, makes tents. That's his career. That's his job. That was his profession. That's his trade. Paul was in the tent making union. Nothing. Ken, it's just nothing. It's a dry, third service came. They're like, you're gonna work for it today, Pastor. You're gonna work for it today. Okay, I hear you. I'm ready for this. Come on, I'm ready. I'm gonna take all of you today. Paul's a tent maker, making tents. How many of you would agree with me that Paul's purpose in life was to make tents? None of you. I wouldn't be able to convince anyone in here that at least has any understanding of the New Testament that Paul the Apostle, the man that God used to write the most books in the New Testament, no one's going to say, yeah, that dude's purpose in life was to make tents. The angel did not stand before Mary on that beautiful day and say, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and overshadow you, and there's going to be a baby put in your womb, and that baby will grow up one day to be a carpenter. Yeah. Going to be making tables up in here. IKEA ain't got nothing on this future baby. No, that's not what Jesus' purpose was. Paul's purpose wasn't tent making. And your purpose is not your career. Your purpose is not your job. Your purpose is not your profession. Who gives you a paycheck? Who signs your checks? That is not your purpose. You are a son and a daughter of God. We've talked about it. When you have an identity, and the word of God says you live out your God-given identity. So who you are produces what you do. Who you are produces the purpose that you're called to live. And ultimately, the New Testament says that you were predestined to look like the image of his son. Who's his son? Jesus. So you were destined, or your purpose is to be a son and a daughter of God, to have an identity that's modeled in the image of Jesus, and then to live that out. That's your purpose. That's the foundation that I must build upon. And once you have that understanding, because so many of us, especially in America today, keep attempting to make our purpose our profession. And that's not gonna happen. So if you're living the rest of your life always in question, always in doubt, am I living in purpose? Is this the purpose that God has for my life? And you keep thinking what you do needs to match that, you're always gonna have struggles. And it leads to questions like, well, what school should I go to? What job should I take? And should I take that job? And should I move out of the state? And should I take? And all of these tensions and confusion, and the devil keeps creating all of this noise in your life that leads you nowhere, because you've burdened yourself with this idea that what I do is my purpose. But Paul made tents. That wasn't his purpose. Jesus was a carpenter for 30 years on this planet. Well, maybe not the first couple, but the majority, he was a carpenter. But that wasn't his purpose. And so once you understand why you're here, why God made you, then I could unveil and lead us into this next level of truth. But if you only hear what I have today and you don't put it on the foundation of where we've been, you're going to build a shallow foundation. You're going to build an unstable house that's going to get tossed over really quick. So make sure that that's the foundation. Then let's build on that real quick. In Genesis 2, verse 15, let's throw something. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch it. God puts the first man, he puts humanity, he puts Adam in the garden that he just made, and then he goes, work. Okay, now let's imagine this picture for a second. God just created everything. Day one, day two, day three, day four, and it's good, and it's good, and it's good. And he makes the heavens and the earth and the light and the darkness and the moon and the sun and the animals and the water. He makes it all. He makes the trees and the firmament. He divides them. He does every day. He's like, it's good, it's good, it's good. And the last day, he forms man out of the dust of the ground and breathes into him. There he is. Day two, go to work. What? What? Go to work. Like, it's supposed to be perfect. This is before the curse. There's no issues on the planet. There's no struggles. Oh, there's not even a person on the planet. He's not even married yet. He doesn't have a wife. Eve doesn't exist. He has no honey-do list yet. He's probably just gaming, living his best life. Just kicking it solo. Just, we're good. Life is good. Garden's good. God's here. And then God shows up day two. He is one day old. Go to work. Go to work. So what does this tell us? What is God trying to reveal to us? What is he trying to establish for us to know as we live the lives that we're called to live? That work is a part of life. That there is work in your life. Can I say it this way? There is work in your purpose. See, your work isn't the sum of your purpose, but in your purpose, there is work. Also, if I could zero in on the men in the room, this is for all people, but men especially struggle with this. If you're not working hard, you are going to have some serious self-esteem issues, some value issues. You're going to struggle to find purpose if you're lazy. You're going to struggle with your identity if you're not working. And so God said from literally the beginning, he has no curse, no struggle, no issue. He just formed man in a perfect environment and still says, go work. Go work. So there is work in your purpose. You got to work. You got to work. Work, it's not scary. It's not something to run from. It's not something to avoid. Can I even say this? Work isn't something to work to get out of. Many people nowadays are working enough to not work. The goal of your life shouldn't be to not work. Now, you could keep leveling up. You could get to that level where I don't need to work anymore financially, but it shouldn't be the goal where, here, let me say it this way. Purpose isn't found on a couch. Purpose isn't found in laziness. Purpose isn't found in comforts. There was a perfect garden, a perfect world, and still God tells Adam, go get to work. Now, I want to unpack this idea of work really quick. So this work, this word in Genesis, in the original Hebrew text, is the word abad. I might not be saying that right. I'm not a linguist. Forgive me. And that word work is also translated in other places in the Old Testament. So it can mean both, it's interchangeable. That word work also means worship. That word work, that Hebrew word, means work, and it also is translated worship. What is it telling us today? It means that your work is also your worship unto God. See, you're not a worshiper if you love music. You're not a worshiper if you're a singer. Stop claiming, I'm a worshiper just because you're here for the three songs on Sunday. That's not the fullness of worship. The full expression of your worship is if you're a living sacrifice and your life is an altar and your work is your worship. Did I say too much real quick? Are you processing? See, my life, what I do on my, see, God is much more concerned or interested in the worship you give him through the work of your hand on Monday than the use of your lips on Sunday. So God says, work the ground. What does it mean? It means I put you in this garden. It's perfect, but get to work. And what you do in it is now your return or your worship back to me. It's your worship. And so when you show up to work on Monday, that's why it matters if you're on time or not. And that's why it matters if you work hard or not. And that's why it matters if you give your all or not. And that's why it matters if you're fully engaged and invested, because your work is your worship. So are you giving God a half-hearted worship? Are you giving God a shallow worship? Are you giving God the minimum of your worship? If our work is our worship, if our time and our energy and our sweat and our engagement and our exhaustion, and if all of that, our work becomes our worship unto God, God is looking for much more than just some lip service. He's looking for your life. You go to Colossians 3, 23. Let me tie these together for a second. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Catch this. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that through the Lord you'll receive an inheritance. Work heartily to the Lord, not to men. See, you may have a boss here, but that's not who you're working for. Your company may have an owner. It may have multiple owners, but that's not who you're working for. You're working for God. So when you show up late, yeah, but they don't notice. Yeah, they ain't paying me enough. They don't give me that overtime. They don't care if I add, or they don't care if I work harder. They don't care if I go the extra mile. Yeah, I should get more. I'm entitled to more. They don't know everything I do around here. And so you cut the corners and you give the least amount, and you take every day off you can and every sick day you can, and you just keep minimizing your effort. No, that's what you're doing unto the Lord, not just to man. And so your worship becomes shallow because you've become shallow. It got heavy quick. Whatever you do, work unto the Lord, not unto men. See, that's why it matters, church, how you work. And that's why in your work, your purpose starts to be revealed. Because what I do is an opportunity for me to worship God. And if I was created to be a living sacrifice, if I was created to be an image or a reflection of Jesus, everything I do has an opportunity to show off God. And if I'm late, and if I don't care, and if I gossip, and if I complain, and if I cut corners, and if I'm the lowest on the, and if I'm just there at the minimum, that's the expression of your worship unto God. How well do you feel the presence of God with your worship? When God is, the Bible says he looks for those that are worshipers. He's not looking for the best voice on a Sunday. You know that, right? It's not like I look to and fro seeking for a worshiper and oh, there's Tasha. Oh, she sounds good. If that was the case, that'd be unfair because she sings like an angel. Or there's Coco. Oh, Coco got them vocals up in here. Our North Campus pastor, you've probably heard Coco sing down here. No, he's looking for you and your life to be a living sacrifice where your work is your worship unto the Lord. And he goes, man, that person, that's an excellent person. They're not working for the man. They're not working for the paycheck. Their work is an expression of worship unto me. I say this to my kids all the time. You do what you do because it's who you are, not because anyone will ever notice or because they earned it or deserved it. It's just who you are. See, you act as you are. That's who you are. And so it doesn't matter if they push you at recess, you don't push back, not because they don't deserve it, but because it's not who you are. And you work hard at the project, not because someone else in the class could end up doing the project for you, but you do it because that's who you are. And you're generous because it's who you are. And you're kind because it's who you are. And we do the homework, even if you don't have to turn it in, because it's simply who you are. See, you don't get to compartmentalize parts of your life that you think you can cut short. You don't get to compartmentalize the work side of your life because I was just working for the company and they don't deserve it and they don't need it and they don't care about. You're right. They might not need it and they might not care about you, but you're not working for them. You're working for God. And so you don't get to compartmentalize a lack of integrity, a lack of excellence, a lack of health. You don't. Could you imagine? That would be amazing if we could compartmentalize on health. I would love that. Like if I could just eat whatever I want and decide where my body it went. Like, listen, cheeseburger, you're going here today. We're not going here. We're going here today. I'm just picking. Some of y'all with them chicken legs, you're like, cheeseburgers, here, please. Cheeseburgers, here, please. You don't get a pick. You can't compartmentalize unhealth. If you're unhealthy, it's all of you. Even if it's only at work. If you're like, well, I'm just lazy at work. No, that's you. That's you. Man, I'm just living on unemployment. Yeah, that's you. That's who you are. Yeah, well, I turned in a resume the other day. No, you're lazy and your worship is tragic and it's trash unto the Lord. If y'all not gonna give me amens, I'm just gonna preach it like I want. Hey, come on, Caleb, preach that. Just go there, say that again. That's a good point. If you want to, it's like, bring it back a little bit. The Bible says that you're a living sacrifice and some of y'all live in pathetic. Some of us. Because we think that the boss doesn't earn this, the boss doesn't deserve this, my company, and that's true, but that's not who you work for. We're working for God. And when you start living with this understanding of my life is worship and I work in, like what God has gifted me with, I can find purpose in it, not necessarily because it has eternal value, but because I have eternal value. And when I add eternal value to it, it changes the environment and it changes the culture. And all of a sudden my life becomes a worship song unto God because I'm excellent and I'm above everyone else. And like I work harder and I go further and I'm kind and I pray for my co-workers and I bring who I am to the table. And so everything I do is worship. Okay, let me say it this way. Could you imagine what the world would look like if every son and daughter of God tomorrow showed up to work with the passion and the zeal and the integrity of Jesus Christ himself? What would this world look like if we all showed up and did our jobs the way Jesus would do our jobs? With excellence, with commitment, with passion, with a love for other people. Gossip would dry up. Negativity would dry up. Issues would dry up. They would go away. Why? Because we were approaching it like this is worship unto God. Okay, this verse, work heartily. I love this. This gets better and better and better. Here, throw this back up. I want us to see it. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That Greek word heartily. It actually is translated, not just like of what it's insinuating is all of your heart or fullness of heart. And in the Greek, it's translated as full breath, like the exhaustion of your breath. And what it means is it's all of your soul is given to work unto God, not unto man. Here's why this matters. Because in Genesis, again, it says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed life into him, and he gained life. So when we work unto God, we are giving back to him the very thing he loaned to us, which is the breath of life. Are y'all getting this today? If this is too deep, just let me know. I'll save it for foundations. The Christians, you know, the students want this stuff. So, you know, full heart. Heartily work unto God, not unto man. What that means is I'm returning to God in my work all of the breath that he gave me for life. And you know that all the breath in your lungs is on loan. It's from him. It's not yours. You didn't invent it. You didn't create it. You don't own that. It's on lease from him. And so my worship is returning to him with all that I have, what he loans to me for life. That's my worship. And that becomes my life. So on Monday, I'm like, where is my purpose? It's on returning to God everything that he gave me. And so I'm going to return it in a way that honors him. And so you might be doing something that doesn't matter to you. You might not have that job for long, but you should invest all of yourself in what you do for that to be worship unto the Lord. You're like, bro, I just picked up some extra hours of Uber driving for the weekend. Great. Pray so hard that when someone gets in that car, they're like, oh, Sunday. What is this? I went old school Pentecostal. Now, if you don't know that... Come back later. We'll have a night service for it. You just, like, you are so excited. You're the kindest, most gracious, most hospitable driver they've ever encountered. Why? Because you're doing it for the Lord. You ain't doing it for them. They could, what if God could trust you with the hardest people? What if every time you picked up a person, they were having the worst day of their life, and God says, I got a guy. I know. Oh, I love this Uber app. Boop, that's the person. Send that person. What if God could trust you with those people? And you were like, every person I drove today was in a horrible mood, and all of a sudden you realize, my life is my worship, and God, I'm a light. God's bringing these people into my car. I'm the hands and the feet of Jesus. And they were going, how come I keep driving people to hospitals? Because God keeps putting you in their path. You thought that drive was meaningless, but God was using it for eternity. Because my life is my worship. So whatever you do, give it to God. Whatever you do, let it be worship. The Bible says that you're a city set on a hill. You're a light that can't be hidden. Think about that for a second. How hard, Seattle's built on a hill. How hard would it be to hide Seattle? You can't hide Seattle. That's you. The Bible says you're a city set on a hill. You're a light that can't be covered. My real question is, how hard is it to cover you? How hard does the devil have to work to cover your light? See, that's how you're a light to this world. Not by becoming preachers. We don't need more preachers. We need more drivers. We need more doctors. We need more lawyers. We need more managers. We need more engineers. We need more school teachers. We need more politicians that show up to the office and say, I'm here to be a representation of Jesus Christ today. Yeah. I'm the light of the world. I'm a city set on a hill. And so I will walk with excellence and integrity and honor. And I will encourage people and pray for people. And I'm gonna show up early, stay late. I'm giving it my all. That's how you turn into a light. That's how that God is calling you to be a living sacrifice, a light everywhere. How do you do that? You live a life of worship so that the mundane becomes eternal. So that what you thought was an average conversation, an average moment, an average conversation at the water cooler at work turns into an opportunity for God to use you to reach someone in their darkest place. Hey, go back to Genesis 2 for me, guys. There's something more. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch it. That work here, you know that word work. So it says work there. But in another translation or another story of the Bible, you'll follow me here. It says Moses walked before Pharaoh. Remember that the time in the Old Testament where the Israelites were the slaves in Egypt? You know, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, all this stuff. So Moses shows up to Pharaoh in Egypt and he says, me and my people must go to the desert and worship. And when he says worship, he says abad. Same Greek word, or excuse me, Hebrew word that Genesis says for work. So catch this. When Moses says we must go worship, Pharaoh heard they must go work. Same word. We gotta go worship, and he heard work, and he had slaves, and he didn't want them working anywhere else. See, Moses was like, we're no longer working for you or here to worship you. We're here to worship God. And our worship is our work, and we are done being your slaves. We're leaving. See, so God is saying your work and your worship are the same unto me. How much of your work honors God? How much of your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, how much of your Friday is a sweet smelling aroma unto the presence of God, because you are worshiping him with your excellence, worshiping him with your integrity, worshiping him with your honor, worshiping him with the lack of gossip, worshiping him with the lack of negativity, worshiping him with the light that shows out of you, because you showed up that day to the office to say, I am the image of Jesus here today. So I'm gonna give all I got to God. Here, the last part of that verse says that to work and to watch. Here, throw that out. I just want people to see it. Genesis 2:15. God put man in the garden to work it and to watch it. So that watch. That's also translated not just to watch it, but a watchman. You're called to work the garden and to be a watchman of the garden. Think about that for a second, church. I've shared this at our Dream Team rallies, and we talked about this at Revival Nights a little bit. But over and over and over in the Old Testament talks about you are equipped to be watchmen. You're called to be watchmen. You're anointed to be the watchman of the city. What do watchmen do? They stand on the towers. They stand on the gates. They look over the city and make sure that it's safe, that it's guarded, that nothing is attacking it, that nothing is coming against it. They're watchmen making sure that what they've been entrusted to is safe and protected. You're a watchman for the gardens that God has entrusted to you. You're a watchman. Many of you have many different gardens. Some of you that are married, you have a garden in your marriage. You gotta cultivate that, value that, watch that. Some of you guys have children and extended family. You're a watchman for your family. That's a garden that God has called you to protect. You have jobs and careers, and some of you have companies and businesses, and some of you are managers. That's a garden that God has called you to. Be a watchman over it. You know, when the shutdowns happened over COVID, my wife came to me, and she had this amazing idea that I build for her gardens. Anyone else have that happen over COVID? That was just a me thing. I felt like a few of us had got stuck in this. Idea was from hell. So I build these gardens, these garden boxes. I don't know what they're called. You got some soil, you know, build them out for her. We planting seeds, we planting tomatoes and lettuce and broccoli. I don't know what y'all planted in there. And we got to get sunlight on this and no sunlight on that. We got to water this and fertilize that and help this and prune this. And we did all of this work, and it was horrible. And we got like half a salad. You know what I'm talking about? Just like, it was like, what? It's like, we done? We got it all? We this was it? We got a Cobb salad out of this? We wait until next year for my... Anyway, I digress. My point is, I've never seen a garden that's great that wasn't kept. That just doesn't happen. Great gardens require good gardeners. Does that make sense? It doesn't accidentally grow. I've never just shown up to a house that was abandoned like, wow, look at that garden in the back. Thing is beautiful. Self-sufficient up in here. There's no weeds. The tomatoes are growing. The lettuce. Look at this. This is incredible. No, it doesn't happen. Weeds grow natural. Sticker bushes grow natural. It rots. It decays. It grows into chaos. The gardens that God has entrusted to you, how well are you watching them? How well are you watching the gardens that God has called you to? Because they won't naturally get better. Your marriage, if ignored, won't get better. Your family, your children, husbands, dads, if ignored, won't grow in the things of God. Your companies, if ignored, don't get better. Problems don't solve themselves. That's the nature of a problem. And so you're a watchman for the gardens that God has entrusted to you. How well do you watch them? If you keep our, many people are going, hey, how do I find my purpose? Watch the gardens. Be a watchman. Work and watch. Work and watch. Work what's in your hand and watch what God has trusted you with. Work what's in your hand and watch what God has trusted you with. Keep working and keep watching. Yeah, but I'm just a driver right now. You work it and watch it and see what keeps coming. Well, I'm just an employee right now. You keep working and watching. You keep working. And on my watch, we don't gossip around here. Nah, dog, you're the new one. Yeah, well, when I'm around, watch your language. When I'm around, we're excellent. I'm not selling you out, but we're on time. I'll cover, but we step up. I'll help, but we in this together. There's an excellence on the team now. There's integrity on the team now. There's hard work on the team now. We committed. Yeah, bro, but this is just minimum wage. Yeah, because it's who I am. I'm an excellent person. I'm not being excellent because I'm paid well. I'm being excellent because I'm a son of God. That's who I am. It's my nature. And I'm not gonna show up and give it half of my effort just because it's only giving me half of a reward. My inheritance or my reward comes from the Lord. So who I am is, I'm just all in. Because my work is my worship. Hey, Ben, come onto the stage with me for a second. And let me land this plane for you because I want to help make sure that you get this, that this makes sense to you. As you leave today, as you're pondering over this week, I want to make sure that there's something that you're going to apply to your life. In 1 Peter 4:10. How does this make sense to you personally? It says, every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God. Isn't that beautiful, of God's grace? The many-colored tapestry of God's grace. Everyone has received a grace gift. You got a grace gift. So how does this make sense in this message on work and my purpose? I want to make sure that you understand that you have a unique purpose on your life, and it's found in your grace. There's a grace on your life. And many of us overlook the grace on our life because it seems average or common to us. We minimize and belittle the grace on our life and we over-celebrate the grace on others. Man, I wish I had their gift. I wish I had their abilities. I wish I looked like them. I wish I sang like them. I wish I had that. I wish. And we praise other graces and we minimize ours. But there is a gift of God on your life, and that grace will be connected to your purpose. Stop minimizing the grace that God has put on your life. You know that there are people in here that every week serve in kids ministry and like it. And like it. That blows my mind. I got grace from my three. I got three kids. I got grace for all three of them. And the second I get to four, I'm like, no more grace. No more grace. My grace is maxed out. My grace has evaporated. It went up and it's gone. There's people that like it. You know that there's people out there that like numbers all day. They apply to do math. Like they want that job. We got accountants at church. It blows up. I'm like, you like this? They're like, oh, we love it. Love it. The other day, I lost a receipt. Oh, Jesus. You thought hell froze over. I was like, it's just a receipt. They're like, we need them all. We need all the receipts. I'm like, they just crave numbers. Like, how do you like this so much? It's a grace. I was talking to our engineer the other day for our new future campus. We were talking through pillars and posts and all the math that goes into supporting the building we're building. It numbed my brain. I was like, I don't understand half of what you just said. Can I go back to talking to the architect? I love all the creativity of moving walls and stuff. He's like, yeah, you keep messing my stuff up. Stop moving stuff. I'm like, I know, but I love this creativity. Why? There's a grace on my life for design, but there's not a grace for that structural math. There's a grace on you somewhere. Some of you love teaching. Some of you love, oh, you love structure. Oh, it's in your bones. You just love organizing. You love it. You're like, let me organize your pantry. You're like, what? Just throw it in there and close the door, you know? It's organized. I can't see it. Some of you love hospitality. When we come over to your house, you got the appetizers and the hors d'oeuvres and the drinks and the this. It's just set up so amazing. You came to my house, I'd make you a protein shake and call it a day. There it is. There's my hospitality. You want a protein shake? I'll blend the banana if you want. I just don't got it in me. But some of you are so gifted. And you want to know something? When I see you and your gifting on Monday nights at our meal, we get to serve our homeless in our area. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You love people in a way I admire so much. Because there's a gift, there's a grace. You serve and you love and you see past what they look like and you see past their struggles and you see a deeper story and you serve them with the love of Jesus that's so profound. And then I see some of our band and y'all, we don't pay them and they come on Wednesdays every week. They got families. They just serve. They don't just like download. They have to practice and learn these songs and they love it and they lead you with such grace every single week because it's a grace. Because it's a grace. And some, you know what? Give me this, Romans 12. Let me cap this with this. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, prophesy. If he's giving you the grace gift of serving, serve well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, actively teach and train. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, encourage. If you have the grace gift of giving, meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. If you have the gift of compassion, show compassion, let it flourish. This isn't a comprehensive list. This is just, Paul's just throwing stuff out there like, listen, if you got grace to lead, lead. If you got grace to serve, serve. If you got grace to be a, you know that the first person in the Bible that had the presence of God on him tangibly in the Old Testament was a builder, not a prophet, not a priest, a builder. To y'all that are builders in the room, you know that you have an anointing on your life to build that house, to build that building, to build, like there is an anointing. If the first person in the Bible where the presence of God sat on was a builder. That means that there is a grace on your life. School teachers, there's a grace on your life. Doctors, there's a grace on your life. Lawyers, like, and so there is a grace on your life. Now, here's what I want us to catch. You weren't created in the womb to be a lawyer, but you have grace on your life to love parts of that career. And so lean in and find where your grace fits best. Does that make sense? If you always grew up building, my brother-in-law, Chris's brother, he took everything apart his entire childhood. Every radio, took it apart. Every car, took it apart. Every remote control car, took it apart. You know what he got a degree in? A diesel mechanic. This man can build a car with his eyes closed. There was simply a grace on his life from a child. He enjoyed that building process. He was not formed in his mother's womb to be a diesel mechanic. He was formed with grace to construct. There's a passion to build in him. That's undeniable. He's got it. I don't. Don't let me take your car apart. It's not going back together. There is a grace on your life. My mom was born to teach. I bet she was teaching when she was 3. You ever talk to my mom in person? She will teach you, train you. She'll make you download an app in the conversation. I don't know what it'll be. It'll be something though. She'll be like, download this app. What are you talking about? Just download it right now. Give me your phone. Give me your phone. You need this. She's just training and instructing. It was in her bones. If she wasn't a pastor, she'd have been a teacher, not a teacher, professor, not a professor. Like she was going to just, it's on her. And there is something, there is a grace on your life too. There's a grace on you. If there's grace to serve, serve. If there's grace to prophesy, prophesy. If there's grace to lead, lead those people. Manage that company, build that organization. And that grace on you will be the grace you rely on to work, and your work becomes your worship and your life becomes a light. Allow your work to be your worship. Don't minimize the grace that's on your life. Don't minimize what comes natural. Don't minimize what you enjoy. Don't minimize what you're good at that for some reason no one else is as good as you. It's just natural for you. Numbers are natural for you. Logic, natural for you. Structure, natural. Leading people, like you just galvanize people, that's a gifting of yours. You got a creative eye, you just see things that others don't. When you take a photo, we want to pay you for it. When I take a photo, we're like, retake. Do that again. Put an edit on that, make it look different. Why? We got the same camera and I got eyes, but it just doesn't work. Because you got a grace. Because you got a grace. Now here's what God wants you to do. Take that grace and serve people. Take that grace and make it worship. Take what God has trusted to you and worship in return with it.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.